You know our slogan around here is better practice, better life. But we're taking this belief to the next level. And we've recently announced the creation of a new association. It's called the Best Practices Association. Our association celebrates the mindset that is better practice, better life. This mindset celebrates time, healthy living, personal growth, clinical excellence, and impacting the lives of your patients and your team through intentional leadership. In fact, we are the work-life balance experts in dentistry. The BPA will coach independent dental practices like yours to thrive by sharing best practices and operational habits, behaviors, systems, tools, and insight that lead to profitability and sustained growth, and you can still have a life. So if you're a dentist that wants to surround yourself with great thinkers, let us help you create your own version of better practice, better life. Go to actdental.com/BPA or hit the link in the show notes. Hey guys, welcome to the Best Practice Show. My name is Kirk Barron. I'm your host. So glad you're here with us today. And if you're thinking about digital implant dentistry and where it's all headed, well, today, like I said, you're in for a treat. I got Dr. Mark Ludlow on today, and we're going to be taking a look at the future, where we're at, where we're headed, and maybe some of the great questions that you have. I'm going to encourage you to add the questions to the feed, and I'll dish them right to Mark while we have him here on live. Now, a couple things. If you're joining us here for the first time, because we've seen a lot of young students and young dentists come on, and you know, sometimes they're like, what is this? I'll just let you know. Number one, we're so glad you're here. Welcome to a very inviting community where there's no egos here. We're just here to learn. And so ask great questions and ask them away. We want to make sure you get the best information so you create a better practice and a better life. Also, if you haven't joined us in the private Facebook group, which is Best Practices powered by ACT Dental, join us over there where you'll see the conversation will continue, where it's just awesome. There's over 13,000 people in there, dentists helping dentists, and you can find a great community of people that are just committed to helping each other. Also, if you haven't already, I'm going to encourage you to subscribe just to wherever you listen to podcasts. So if you're listening to iTunes today and you're hearing us, just do me a favor, swipe down to the subscribe button, hit the subscribe button, because we want you to show up with us every single week. You're going to see every single week, we're going to bring you a brand new expert in dentistry and just bring you some of the best practices from the best dental practices all over. And then lastly, if you own a dental practice and you're just like, gosh, Kirk, I'm struggling. I don't know what to do. I don't know where the future is. Don't be afraid to raise your hand. We're a team of coaches. We work with dental practices all over the country. One of our core values is always be growing. So if you're looking at a way to grow your practice, or you can, you know, you can join us over at actdental.com or actdentalu, which we had a great masterclass this morning where there's tons of learning going on. Or if you just need somebody to speak to about the future direction of your practice, I got a great team of coaches and you can always feel welcome over there. So Mark, I want to introduce you. You know, you and I have, hold on one second. I'll put this on. So
There we go.
You and I are meeting for the first time today. I've heard your name. You know, you've spoken at major conferences all over the place, and, I want people to know who you are before we get started. We're going to be talking about digital implant dentistry, and I got a lot of questions just on that phrase and where it's headed. But if people don't know who you are, share a little bit about your story.
Sure. Yeah. So basically, right now I live in Charleston, South Carolina. I'm part of the Medical University of South Carolina, and I've got a couple of roles here. So I'm the division director of implant prosthodontics. So I basically run our implant clinic. And then I also am the director of a digital dentistry residency. So I've got residents in that. We teach them, you know, go through all digital modalities and all sorts of ways of treating people. And so that's kind of what I do currently, you know. And again, I've had a really random kind of pathway to get to where I'm at. So I'm a prosthodontist, but I actually started off dentistry, you know, back in the 90s as a lab tech. So I first began as a lab tech, went to dental school at University of Connecticut, got my degree there and kind of finished up and decided, you know, I almost went into pros then, but I was kind of over it like a lot of students are. You know, you go through so much, you know, with school and whatnot. I was like, you know, I need to get out, go into practice. So I went into practice, was in private practice for about six or seven years, sold my practice to go back to pros. Went and did pros and was at UNC. And then I came down here, you know, after UNC for a while. And I've been down here for a number of years. And so I've taken a really convoluted route to get to where I am. But, you know, it to be honest, it was kind of the best thing I ever did. And, you know, it was funny just, you know, speaking about digital, I got started with digital. Like I say, I think that was about 99, you know, when we got a Procera scanner, you know, and just would do copings back in the day in the lab. And then I got my first intraoral scanner, I think, and it was 2006.
Wow.
So, you know, I've been doing this stuff for quite a while just because, honestly, it was something that interested me and it was something that I saw as kind of moving into the future and what would be the future trends of dentistry. And so that's why I kind of hopped on it earlier. And I mean, looking at it now versus how it was back then, I mean, geez, it's almost unrecognizable how different it is now versus then. So yeah, that's just a little bit about me and kind of my random path, and especially with digital. So
yeah,
been going for a while.
Now, I've interviewed a lot of people on here, a lot of speakers and experts. I don't know that I've had a lab tech, somebody that's, you know, because you got your start in the lab,
yeah,
or private practice, and then went to academics. Like, that's like the trifecta.
Yeah. So, what the crap was I doing, man? I mean, But, you know, it was one of those things. It was funny when I finished up pros. I love private practice, like absolutely love it. Like that's one of the things in being an academic that I really miss is running, you know, a business. I miss running my business. I miss, you know, implementing the systems and whatnot that, you know, I had there. But, you know, ultimately when I was kind of, you know, when I was initially finishing up my residency and trying to decide, you know, go back to practice or go back to, or try education, I kind of thought, you know, I'd like to try to make somewhat of a difference in our field, you know, cause sometimes, especially the field of prosthodontics, we're a little bit more on the old school end of things. And so I wanted to try to make a difference from that perspective. So that's why ultimately I decided to go into education, you know, for the moment. And, you know, again, it's great. There's lots of fun things we can do in education. You know, as I say, I truthfully, you know, I still have my practice day, you know, my 1 day a week practice day, but without that, I'd go frigging crazy. But I really do miss my private practice because it was a great thing. I had a great staff, great patients, you know, and it was really fun. So yeah, I've got kind of a bunch of different backgrounds, which I actually think kind of help out, especially with the educational perspective, because, you know, I can give a little bit of a dose of what reality is out there versus, yeah, you know, some of the other perspectives you sometimes get with these things.
That's awesome. Well, yeah, you definitely have the heart of a teacher. Now, I want you to go back to what you said. You talked about old school prosthodontics.
Yeah. And,
okay, so define old school and new school, and then take us, you know, we hear this word all the time, digital, and then combine those. So take us on the journey of old school to where new school is and your perspective on that.
Yeah, well, so what I think that, you know, I think prosthodontics is a very interesting field because I think a lot of what we do in prosthodontics is, you know, we're coming in sometimes to fix things, sometimes to kind of redo cases and stuff like that. And so you really want the tried and true thing, you know, to constantly work and to, you know, something that's always worked and has worked over the years and has a big history and stuff like that. And sometimes that's a little bit difficult when it comes to digital because, you know, hardware changes, software changes, different things change so quickly that sometimes, you know, when something's released, we don't have a lot of data yet on, you know, how good this is versus X, Y, and Z. And so, you know, that was one thing that, you know, I was really wanting to try to move at least prosthodontics here and especially implant, you know, work here at MUSC forward in was the digital realm. And it's been a very great thing, especially from, you know, my professional organization, the ACP. You know, over the past probably about 6 years, we've had this big initiative through Henry Schein to really progress digital dentistry forward. And so I think, you know, prosthodontics overall has taken this big step forward and kind of started to swing and get really involved in digital. which has been a great thing because, you know, there are so many things that you can do with digital that, you know, back in the day, you know, I couldn't even really fathom doing. And even, you know, the way I treat patients now using the digital tools is very different than I used to be able to treat them with. And so I think it's just been this evolution of treating patients. And I think the one thing, you know, as to your comment, you know, people talk about digital. And it's really funny when I get asked, you know, can you speak about digital? It's kind of like, well, what, you know, what do you want? You know, I mean, it's such a large field. And I think the one thing people have to remember is what digital does for you is it doesn't replace fundamental principles and fundamental dentistry. They're tools, just like everything else is a tool. It's just how you can use that tool and how you can apply that tool in different ways. Maybe more beneficial, you know, to use it and use it this way versus, you know, doing another way. So that's I think the biggest thing with digital is you're right. It's this big monster field, but you have to realize, you know, it's still, you're still trying to do fundamental dentistry and applying your fundamental skills and knowledge base that you've had in general, you know, in normal dentistry, if you will, for all this time.
Yeah, we've had so many people on here. You know, everybody's kind of all over the board on this, but like learning to do it analog before you go to digital is not going to make you just single-handedly a better dentist. You need to understand the fundamentals of it.
Right.
I would love for you to talk about this because a lot of times we spend education in private practice. And so digital dentistry, you know, everyone's talking about it. Very few people are implementing it completely, but what's happening with the students, where everyone's always curious, like, how are these dental students and what do you see on the digital front for students right now?
Yeah, so that's probably one area where, you know, I think our institution really is very progressive compared to other places is, you know, our whole educational process built upon digital. I mean, you know, when I went to dental school, you know, your first year or two, you're hand waxing, you're doing all these different things. You've got little suck downs or different thing to evaluate your crown preps. Well, you know, just in the fundamental years of dental school, you know, in first and second year, basically it's has a significant digital portion because we've got all their ideal wax ups in a computer that when they go ahead and wax it up, they go and scan their wax up, can merge that in and see how close their wax up is to what it should ideally be. And then they go back, continue to wax up until they get it to the tolerance level that, you know, the faculty want them to be. And, you know, it does a couple things for them is, you know, the same type thing is also for the fundamentals of prepping crowns and doing all sorts of fixed restorations is because the ideal preps are in there and then you have to prep it. You go and scan it, you go and see how far off you are, and then you go back and keep doing your work until you get it to where it should be. And I think what a lot of these tools do for us is one, it allows the, you know, the student especially to start really being able to self-evaluate because, you know, the digital, the scanner and the software to merge it, it's just a tool. I mean, it's just going to give them a completely objective readout to where they can start to look at things and really self-assess and kind of see, okay, this is what I'm doing, this is what I need to do better, and this is not, versus, you know, getting feedback from the faculty that, you know, may look at it and be like, oh, this stinks, and you go to the other faculty and they're like, this is the greatest prep, you know, we've ever seen, and in digital doesn't do that at all. It's completely objective. It says, well, you were off 500 microns here, you know, a millimeter and a half this way, you were completely off. So it really helps the students do that. And then I think the other thing which it helps them do is, you know, before in labs and stuff, you had to kind of sit there and prep and do your thing and have the faculty be there. Well, now what you can do is basically they can go ahead and do this at any time. So the kids are getting a lot more practice than they normally would because they can get the feedback, you know, off hours and get more experience that way. And it really, I think, helps them build their skill set early, get some of the muscle memory down much quicker. And then one of the fundamentals, like one of the intangibles you get from it is, you know, by the end of first year, they've scanned about 100 arches at that point. And so they built up the muscle memory of how to scan. So when they go directly to patients, I mean, scanning, they can scan easier than they can take an impression because they've done so many of them by that time. Yeah. So there's a lot of changes that, you know, you have the ability to do when you leverage some of these technologies.
The Best Practices Show with Kirk Behrendt is brought to you exclusively by ACT Dental, the ultimate provider of dental practice management solutions for dentists and their teams. ACT Dental is committed to helping you build a better practice and a better life. If you're looking to grow your production, motivate your team, get back on track, and create the practice you've always dreamed about, look no further. Give us a call at 800-851-8186 or visit us at actdental.com.
Now, tell us about the implant side of things on digital. Like, what are young GPs and just people going through dental school being taught on the digital side of implants that we wouldn't know maybe in the private practice realm or if you haven't been close to a dental school in a while?
Yeah, so the way that we do digital, well, the way that we run all of our implant stuff here is it's from a fully digital kind of workflow. So every patient that comes in, the students are scanning them. In the off chance that they don't scan them and they take a model, what we then do is digitize the model. But every implant case gets digitally waxed up. You know, you don't have to get a denture tooth and hog it out and kind of sticky wax it on there anymore or do one of your, you know, little wax ups there. We go ahead and design all the prosthetic, you know, all the wax ups and whatnot completely digital. And then from there, you know, all of our patients get a CBCT taken as well. And then the CBCT, the scan of the pre-op, and the digital wax-up all get merged in implant planning software. And then from there, you know, our students will sit down with our residents, plan the cases. And then, you know, we either go in a guided surgery pathway if they decide to go that way. If they don't want to do a guided surgery pathway, then what we generally do is go ahead and, you know, print out the digital wax-up, go ahead and make a thermoform matrix, you know, and use that as your guide. And use that as kind of the template for the surgery. But that's how all the patients get worked up. And again, then from the surgical side, they're either doing guided or freehand. We also have an XNAV, so you also have the ability to do some navigation. Most of our residents spend a lot more time doing static guides, though. And then from there, you know, once the patient comes back after they're, ready to be restored, we go ahead and just take out the healing abutment like everybody else does. Go ahead and instead of putting a conventional impression coping on, we'll put what's called the scan body, which is a similar thing. Go ahead and scan that, send it to the lab. The lab will go ahead and make everything, you know, on their software, send it back and put it directly in. So that's kind of the workflow. Those are the different things that we generally do. And that's kind of the overarching theme of everything is to try to get this in a completely digital workflow. And we found it to be very efficient to be truly honest, our diagnostics have actually been significantly better since we've gone to this pathway.
Yeah. So can't argue with digital for the most part.
Well, yeah. I mean, the one bummer about it is, you know, especially from the private practice perspective is it costs money. You know, I mean, I remember my first machine I bought, you know, it cost me like 116 grand or something. And, you know, I mean, I think with all of these things, especially from the private practice perspective, you have to make sure that it's going to fit into your practice model with what you're trying to achieve right in your practice. And that's kind of the key because, you know, if you're just blowing this money on this thing because you think it's cool, I mean, that's fine. But you know, most of the stuff we want to have a good solid ROI on. And so you've got to really take a look at your practice and see how these tools can help you and then move forward with them. Cause if not, I mean, if it's not going to change your practice or change your patient's experience or any of those different things, then I think it's a little bit harder justification, especially from the business side to pony up, you know, X amount of dollars to buy whatever it is that you're wanting to buy and look at.
Yeah. I'm so glad you said that because every once in a while, not often, but every once in a while I'll run into a dentist who wants to buy a CBCT before they even buy a phone system. I'm like, No, you need patience. Like let's get the basic fundamentals in here. Let's get it going and then introduce some technology later on. Technology also changes too. I mean,
it does.
You see the steric machines now that people are trying to sell that have collected dust for a while because there's a new one out there or whatever. I'm like, you're still paying on the old one type of a thing. So you want to be a little cognizant of that. Talk about the changes. Like you get to see a lot of the changes and how fast this stuff is coming into the marketplace, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, it's crazy, you know? So my first scanner was a Redcam, you know, it was a Cerec 3D. And, you know, at that point, basically what you tried to do is you take one picture, you know, just kind of straight up and down, just take the picture. That was it. If you're good, you could get three pictures stitched together. If you're wicked good or a trainer, you know, you could get five. And that was about the extent of it. You know, heaven forbid trying to get a dentalist or different things with that. But, you know, you could take basically the space of a tooth and, you know, the adjacent teeth. And that was about it. And I mean, what we've seen over the years is we've seen these scanners, you know, the heads. Well, the heads, some heads have gotten smaller. Some heads have actually gotten a little bit bigger. But what we've seen is just from a speed perspective, you know, these things, they're basically like video cameras that you put in the mouth. You put a video camera in the mouth, it will create the three-dimensional object from there. And again, they're so much faster than they ever used to be, you know, where we get a full arch scan, you know, again, on my two fastest machines, you know, with an experienced user, you get a full arch scan in maybe 45 seconds. If you're, you know, kind of a rookie user, you know, maybe 2 minutes or so, which is absolutely incredible, you know, and the accuracy of these things, we do a lot of research on the accuracy of these things. The accuracy is getting so darn good that it definitely, you know, the question of how, you know, are they accurate enough? I mean, I think that's been answered quite a few years ago at this point.
Yeah, totally. What did people get wrong with digital? What do you think dentists get wrong most or students get wrong with
digital? Well, I think one of the biggest things, especially with intraoral scanners, is, you know, just think, oh, let's just scan, you know, we only can scan this, or we only can scan this, or I'm only going to use it for my single posteriors or something like that. But where I think a lot of this type of, I think where a lot of this stuff can get used and applied better is when you go ahead and try to change up the patient experience, you know, because it's really funny. Like every patient that comes in, that's the first kind of thing we do after, you know, I meet them, hear what they're about, take some photos or something, you know, I take out my scanner and I scan them. And what it does is it really sets up a different type of patient experience and a different paradigm than anything that they've had in any of the other offices. And it always kind of blows their mind. They're like, what are you doing? What is that? You know, then you sit them up and go through and show them. And it's a great thing to help build your practice, where I think, you know, a lot of these things, we don't look at them as practice builders or things that will differentiate our practice from other practices. And I think that's one of the areas where, you know, especially from the private practice perspective, is sometimes we just don't look at it that way or really help our patients to kind of see it and articulate it to help them understand how our practice is different and help us, you know, kind of move patients, you know, expectations and whatnot forward in our practices. So I think that's one area that I think could be applied a whole lot better. At least that's what I see, you know, with our students, with our residents, and also, you know, going around and speaking to people in practice, but huge practice builder.
Absolutely. And then as far as, you know, anyone's guess is what the future looks like. What are some of the things we can anticipate in the future when it comes to digital or implants or even PROS?
You know, oh man, there's so much cool stuff that we're all dreaming about. But I think the much closer things. So I'll talk about things which are coming. Okay. I think the biggest thing which people, especially with scanners and stuff, worry about is, you know, great for a single, great for a quadrant. Well, can you really do it from a full arch, or can you do it for even a high, you know, hybrid type implant, you know, prosthesis? Well, the scanners, the accuracy of these things, they're there. What the problem is now is just workflows. And again, luckily I work with a number of really great companies and we've developed a bunch of workflows for the full arch, you know, implant realm where, you know, especially from the restorative side, it's coming, it's here. I mean, these things can, you know, we can do full arch. That's actually how I do my full arches is all digital, because there's so many things that you can register and you can send to your lab and, you know, articulate differently than having to do all the lab processes there that you introduce, you know, air in all those lab processes, that you can cut a bunch of those out to where, you know, the restoration comes back fitting extremely well. The bites are just the most spot on I've seen before. And that's, I think, one of the biggest things is from the larger full arch implant realm, things, you know, from a restorative side, that's coming pretty darn quick. It should be released here soon. Where I think the, you know, what I call the holy grail is coming, and I know we're all working on this as well, is the ability to take a patient that's dentate, you know, in the terminal dentition, you know, and have everything fit together well enough to where we can take out all the teeth, we can put the implants in, we can go ahead and put the prosthetics all on and just screw directly on the prosthetics. So right now, you know, there's still little wiggle rooms with guided surgery. There's little wiggles with everything to where, you know, most of the time we're having to pick up the provisionals and do different things like that clinically. But, you know, I think here soon it's going to be the type of thing where, you know, we just take the teeth out, put this stuff in, put our abutments on, screw on the temporary, you know, and away they go. And, you know, we've got it. We dialed the process for the single tooth, you know, a number of years ago. And now we're just trying to get the nuances for the full arch. But I think that's at least one of my kind of holy grails is that we're able to do something like that. Cause that's going to definitely cut down, you know, my clinic time, like the chair time with the patients help, you know, help them get in and out much quicker with a much more predictable, you know, treatment.
Yeah. I love it. What's your favorite thing working with students? Like, I love that you have a heart for students and, you know, working with kids or even younger dentists. I mean, there's always a moment as a teacher, you're like, oh my gosh, I love that when they get it. What are some of your favorite when you look back at digital dentistry or, you know, teaching any student?
Yeah. I mean, I think the biggest thing that you see, you know, and again, I see this a lot with our residents. I work with our perio and our oral surgery residents as well, is just the change that occurs over time. You know, like with our students, residents, you come in and you know, their knowledge is just so small because, you know, they're just getting into their career. And then, you know, as the time goes on and, you know, you see these light bulbs every time kind of going off when things just start to click, or, you know, they see stuff from, you know, the lecture that you talked about and then see the actual clinical application, and, you know, the eyes go wide and go, that's why we do this, that, and the other. I think that's the coolest thing about being in education is just being able to see people be able to improve the way that they treat patients, you know, by learning these practical applications. And that's bar none, I think the most rewarding thing is just watching, you know, our students and residents grow and, you know, grow into our peers, you know, that heck, I'd let do, you know, this implant here or onlay here or something like that, you know, have them do it on me just because, you know, at that point you feel very confident that they A, know the knowledge and B, have the hand skills to be able to do these things. So that's bar none. I think the best part about working with the students and residents is just watching them progress and grow and get better and better and better and better. And then, you know, especially with our residents, you know, it gets to the point of almost reverse mentorship where, you know, they start learning some of these, you know, like two of my residents are so much better, you know, one of the software packages than I am. Like I have my couple different softwares I use and they have this other one. And I mean, they can run me under the table with the other one. And it's really cool to sit down and say, okay, how'd you do that again on that one? You know, and have them do the reverse mentorship type thing to me and teach me how to do these different things. And then we all progress and, you know, it keeps moving forward and forward and forward.
Yeah. That's one of my favorite things ever. I'm so glad you said that is like when you run into somebody and you're like, oh my gosh, I remember. And then they start to like, here's what I'm doing. And you're like, oh, that's so awesome. They take it and the roles have been reversed a little bit. And I think that's what this great profession allows. So
yeah, that's what's really fun, you know? And I mean, we all are learning, you know, I mean, you know, there's all everybody, you know, bottom line is everybody that surrounds us is better than we are at, you know, a multitude of things. And that's what's so cool about just interacting with people. And that's one of the reasons why, you know, I love getting out when I speak and, you know, talk to residents, talk to just the clinicians that are wherever we're at is because, you know, everybody is so darn good at different things. And it's so fun just to learn and talk shop with people from all around the world on these things that, you know, it just is an absolute joy to, you know, just see how other people treat patients and, you know, what tricks and tips they have. And that's just one of the greatest things, is just the constant learning that we all can go through.
Love it. Love it. Well, awesome. I really appreciate this a ton, you know. And any last thoughts you have on just digital implant dentistry or the future?
You know, I just say my honest thought with this is the future is here and it's now, you know. And if it's, I would just have everybody take a real look at your practice and see if it's something, if there's some way that the digital could augment your practice and get into it. Because, you know, sometimes with practice, you know, it gets a little mundane. And I tell you, when you start applying some of these things and you start learning these new techniques and machines and software and stuff like that, you get absolutely rejuvenated. You know, I've got a couple of faculty on my staff that, you know, they're in their mid to late 70s. And these dudes are so excited about the digital stuff that, you know, it's completely rejuvenated their outlook on practicing dentistry and continuing to teach and to practice and whatnot. So that'd be the biggest thing I'd say, is just take a look at it. See if it's something that you can apply to your practice and go for it, because the time really is now.
Yeah, I love that. I love talking to dentists that are in it 30 years, some of them even 40 years, and they go, there has never been a more exciting time to be a dentist. And I'm like, really? And they're like, yes.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy.
It is so cool because you can see the fire in their eyes. Their eyes tell the whole story. They believe it, you know?
Yeah, I agree. So, yeah.
Well, Mark, I really enjoy this. I know people are going to want to reach out to you for the benefit of people listening on iTunes or Spotify. How can I get a hold of you if I want to ask a question?
Yeah, the easiest would just be email me. I mean, my email is just LudlowM, you know, like Ludlow Mark. So LudlowM@musc.edu. You know, shoot me an email. Any questions you have about anything, I mean, just shoot me an email. I'll send you something back and we can go from there.
Awesome, buddy.
So, yeah. And I appreciate the chance of speaking, man. It's been fun.
Hey, it's been awesome. It's awesome. I appreciate you showing up Friday afternoon.
No problem at all.
Awesome. Well, stick around while we say goodbye to everybody else. Thank you guys for showing up on the Best Practices Show. If you enjoyed today, just do us a favor. Hit the share button. Share it with your friends. Keep sending us suggestions for things that you guys want to see on the show, whether it be from Mark or anybody else. We love to hear what you guys are thinking. I got a bunch of suggestions this morning, and we'll line those up for you guys. And until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show. You guys enjoy the rest of your day. There you have it. Thanks for tuning in to this episode of the Best Practices Show. I hope you sure did enjoy it. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out to us. We are always here for you. And if you haven't done so already, make sure you subscribe to the show on iTunes or wherever you consume podcasts. And if you really enjoy it, you can leave a comment or a 4 or 5 star review. But until we see you next time, keep watching the Best Practices Show.